All righty. Thank you, Brother Calvin. Take your Bibles this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, our launching passage for this series, Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. We launched it several weeks ago from verse 33, which says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." And today, as we continue in that series, after several weeks of laying the foundation and now looking at how husbands can love and wives can reverence, we come to this lesson, how to reverence by appreciating his desire to serve and to lead. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. And I'm so grateful you're here this morning and looking forward to our time together in God's Word. Verse number 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And I know that this is every lady's favorite passage of Scripture, and so we did not want to be remiss in missing it along the journey of this series. Now, we have studied lots of things in reference to reverencing your husband. We've talked about appreciating his desire to work and to achieve, to accomplish something. We've talked about appreciating his desire to protect and provide, to care for the family and be the headship and the gatekeeper. And now we look at another desire that God built into the man, which is to serve and to lead his family. Or you could say, to be in authority. God has given man the desire, and might I say, the responsibility, to serve and to lead his family, and indeed, to be in authority. Now, some ladies this morning maybe could identify with this wife who said, "I want my husband to be the leader. I just want to make sure that he makes decisions in keeping with what I want him to do." And sometimes ladies don't have a problem submitting to their husbands or following their leadership as long as he goes the direction she told him to go. And that certainly is not God's design, and it is not God's way. Maybe you heard the story about the couple who got married and decided that he would make all of the major decisions as the leader of the home, and she would make all of the minor decisions. But after 20 years of marriage, he thought, "I don't think we've had one major decision yet." And she was making all of the decisions. Now, God has given this desire in the heart of husbands, and God has given him this responsibility. And today, wives, we want to learn how to reverence him in this area, appreciating his desire to serve and to lead and to be in authority. And so let's study this God-given desire and how to appreciate it scripturally. Number one, I want us to see the message of Scripture. The message of Scripture. Now, many men have been cowed by the feminist argument that men and women are totally equal and husbands don't have any more authority than their wives do. But listen to me, for the Christian couple, the question is, what does the Bible teach about who has authority in the home? Culture may say something, the world, society, this book, that book. What does God say? What does the Bible say on this subject matter? Who has authority in the home? Well, we've read Ephesians chapter 5, where God puts man in the headship of the home. And we've learned over the last several weeks that God does not intend for the good-willed husband and leader to use this position as some kind of a club to beat his wife down or to make his reign known. Rather, acting responsibly and lovingly and leading his family as God has asked him to do. Now, a wife that has it all together and maybe in her heart struggles with submitting to her husband must realize that at the end of the day, her issue is not with her husband. Her issue is with God. Notice the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. "She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. Now here's the virtuous woman who her children raised up and call her blessed, who her husband praised her in the gates. I mean, this was a model for wives and mothers. And yet we see that she was out buying fields. She was in real estate. She was with the fruit of her hands planting a vineyard. She was in agriculture. This lady was accomplishing things. This lady was professional. This lady had abilities and talents and gifts, no doubt. And yet this lady acknowledged the leadership of her husband and deferred to him in this way. And so wives, to recognize the intention of the Lord is not to embrace a subservient role in life, but rather is to acknowledge God's perfect plan and design. So the message of Scripture is clear. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife. Let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. This is God's design. This is God's intent. This is the message of Scripture, and it's not difficult to understand. It is not difficult to discern. It is not difficult to know what God desires. It's just difficult to embrace and to live. So the message of Scripture is clear. But then I want us to see, secondly, what about mutual submission? What about mutual submission? Many Christian wives are uneasy with subjects like headship and authority and the gatekeeper of the home. And Ephesians is straightforward, and we see also in 1 Timothy 2:2, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And this is in reference to the church, we know. And in recent years, there has been a movement among some scholars to suggest that the Bible teaches this idea, mutual submission. And that is that men and women are equally subject to one another. And they use this text in Ephesians 5, where we read, but in verse number 21, where the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, the idea behind mutual submission is that the wife does not owe submission of any unique kind to her husband, but rather she owes the same submission to him that indeed he owes to her. Well, now, if this were true, it would be very hard to explain the passage in which we read of Ephesians 5, verses 22, 23, and 24, where wives are clearly told to submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The Greek word for submit is hupotasso, which means to rank under or to place under. Now, in any marriage, disagreements are going to surface from time to time. Again, marriage is a commitment between an imperfect man and an imperfect woman. It will not be a perfect relationship. And if a decision must be made, then the wife is called upon to defer to her husband's leadership and authority, trusting that God will guide him to make the decision out of love for her and responsible for his marriage and his home. The Bible says in Titus 2:5, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So it's clear in the Scriptures that God teaches that indeed the husband is to lead, is to serve, is to be an authority of his home, and he is to have the submission and fellowship of his family. And when a decision needs to be made and somebody needs to make it, God is looking to him to make the call. So what did the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, mean in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 21, where he said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God? And I believe the answer is found in love and reverence. I believe God is saying, men, no matter what's happening, you are to provide love for your wife. And wives, no matter what's happening, you are to provide reverence for your husbands. You are to submit one to another. You are to meet one another's needs. There is to be love. There is to be reverence at all times, no matter what. And then, if a decision needs to be made, if a shot needs to be called, then husbands, take the lead in authority and lead your home as I have given you instruction according to my word. And I believe that is the essence of the mutual submission that God intends for our relationship. So the message of the scripture is clear. We see mutual submission as an admonition to give love and reverence no matter what, but it is certainly not a replacement of the authority that God intends for the husband. But then I want us to see, thirdly, this morning, the mandate is sovereign. The mandate is sovereign. Husbands indeed are responsible to make the call. This is God's design and it is His command. And I believe in most cases when love and reverence are both present, the husband loving his wife and the wife reverencing her husband, that couples will resolve the conflict without a stalemate and an ultimate decision needing to be made. In other words, we're teaching this morning, ladies, about appreciating His desire to serve and to lead, to recognize that He has authority in the home, but understanding that, listen, when there is goodwill, husbands and wives, who are striving to show love and reverence at all times, that it's not like this comes up all the time. Most good-willed husbands and wives who are providing love and reverence are able to work through things without there having to be this, well, bless God, we're going to do this, and her just having to follow along. That's a very rare thing. In fact, in my relationship, Suzanne and I have been married about 12 and a half years. I can't even think of one. And I'm so blessed with a submissive wife who desires to reverence, and I desire to love, and we desire to work through things. And when a decision needs to be made, we talk and we pray, and then I make it and we go on. And standing before you this morning, I don't even know of a time where in her heart she has had to say, boy, I sure disagree with this, but I'm going to go along anyway. And I'm sure there has been on some level. But in goodwill, there has been harmony as we have journeyed through life. And so I want us to come to this idea, though, of the mandate is sovereign. Now, does this mean that a wife must submit to something illegal? This authority and leadership that he has in the home, this headship and gatekeeper, something wrong, something evil? Should she go along with him beating her or the children? Should she submit to his plans to do something dishonest or unethical? And ladies, I want you to know that the scriptural answer is, of course not. That is not God's intention at all. When a man acts this way, he is not a good-willed husband, and he forfeits his right to be the head of the home and to be followed. Listen very carefully. A wife's submission to God takes precedence over her submission to her husband. A wife's submission to God takes precedence over her submission to her husband. She is not to sin against God in order to defer to her husband's authority. The Bible says in Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. There is much a husband and wife can do to mutually submit and meet each other's needs. But when somebody has to call the shots, the husband is responsible to do it. And God challenges the wife to submit to that decision and to follow his leadership. And wives, I want to encourage you this morning to do that. And I want to remind you that as your husband is loving God and following God's leadership in his life, there's nothing greater you can do for the success of your home for the long haul than to submit and follow him. And you say, Brother Rule, boy, it sounds like we're just kind of giving him the keys to everything and hoping he gets it right. That's exactly what we're doing. And we're trusting God's leadership in his life. And men, let me just kind of pause here and challenge you and I. God forbid we take the leadership and headship of our home and have a godly, good-willed, submissive wife who follows and then begin to do things contrary to the Word of God. What responsibility you and I shoulder this morning in our marriages and in our families, how lives literally hang in the balance and what their future will be weighs on us. And may you and I take none of this lightly. May you and I not to disregard any of it as unimportant. But rather, may we come to grips with the fact that we are so blessed to be husband and to be father. May we come to grips with the awesome responsibility in which we shoulder. And may we recognize that it is imperative that we follow God and His Word and His direction and its Spirit's leading in our lives so that we can appropriately provide the leadership and authority that our family needs. The mandate is sovereign. Yes, he has authority in the home, but that is kept in balance by God has authority in his life. And then lastly, number four, I want us to see this morning the method of stating your disagreement. The method of stating your disagreement. Now, how should a wife act if she strongly disagrees with her husband about some issue? Well, remember what we read in 1 Timothy, that a woman is not to teach nor to assert the authority over a man. So you say, well, that's such a demeaning verse to women. Well, remember what we learned about the power of a woman's behavior in 1 Peter, where the Bible says in chapter 3 and verse number 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if by that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Peter was not saying, boy, women are just insignificant. Rather, Peter is saying, your quiet and gentle spirit and behavior will melt your man's heart and will lead him in the right direction. And so he is saying very much that your role is significant and weighty and very important. Now, you say, all right, so I am to be submissive and appreciating his desire to serve and to lead and to be an authority of our home. Okay, but if I do disagree with the direction we're going or the decision he's making, and I need to state something and share my heart, how do I do that? And ladies, here's what I'm going to challenge you. If you are in conflict and you remain respectful, peaceful, it will go a long way in your ability to state how you feel. In other words, when you go to state how you feel, and it sounds like you're preaching a message or lecturing or criticizing, he may hear what you say, but he's not going to receive it. I'm just helping you. Just listen to me, because I will help you. When you go to state your disagreement, if it's coming across like a lecture from mom, he may hear the words, but he's not going to receive the information. But when you come across as a loving, respectful bride and girlfriend who wants to voice to her man and her leader her opinion and insight for his consideration, it is received so much better than when we say things like, oh, I knew you were going to do it that way. I hate it when you do it that way. I can't believe you did that. I'm telling you right now, that's not going to work. It's not going to be something he receives. You say, Brother Rule, I don't know about that. Then let me ask you a question. Listen to me very carefully. Ladies, when's the last time your husband has come to you and asked you, honey, what do you think about this? When is the last time your husband has solicited your input or feedback without you offering it? Now, I want to tell you something. A good-willed wife who is respectful and peaceful and loving as she communicates her input and feedback is much more likely for that information to be sought after by her husband without her even having to volunteer it than some lady who gets up on a soapbox and lets her opinion be made known. And I'm just telling you, ladies, the way that it works, the way your husband's mind works, and if you want to have a two-committed relationship that's honoring unto the Lord, then I want to encourage you, be sure that when you bring your opinion, even if it's in opposition to his, that it is coming in a very respectful and loving way for him. The number five, how to make him stand out. Authority must come with responsibility. And ladies, what your husband wants from you is for you to acknowledge that he is the leader of your home and the one in authority. Simply stating that he is the one that God has put in the position of responsibility, the one who is going to give an account. You say, Brother Roll, I don't agree with that, and I don't think that he is. Well, ma'am, I'm sorry, but when you get to heaven and I get to heaven and we answer to the Lord, God is not going to have you answer for your home. He will have him. And if you led your home, he will still stand and give an account for his lack of leadership. Because this is God's design, and it does work, and it is blessed. So how to make him a standout? And recognize that no smooth running organization can have two heads. In fact, to set up a marriage with two equals at the head is to set it up for failure. Because what we're saying is that in essence, these marriages do not have anyone in charge at all. They're set up for failure, and that's why so many are ending in divorce. God knew someone had to be in charge, and that's why Scripture clearly teaches that in order for things to work, this wife is called upon to submit, to defer to follow the leadership and authority of her husband. Wives, you don't have to bury your brains or become a doormat. You just need to go on record with your husband that you see him as having 51% of the responsibility and therefore 51% of the authority. Going on record with your husband that you understand, honey, I know you have 51% of the responsibility for this home unto God. And I know that and I recognize that means you have 51% of the authority. Tell him that you see him having more authority because he has more responsibility given to him by God. And as you submit, which simply means recognizing his biblical given authority, then you're not going to be a doormat. You will be successfully fulfilling your role and showing reverence to your husband. A wife who is submitting and following and acknowledging this responsibility given to her husband by God and recognizing his authority as a result is not a doormat or beaten over with a club. It's appreciated. She's treated like a queen because the husband is grateful for her biblical behavior. Sometimes wives complain that their husbands are too disconnected and passive on family matters. Why is he so passive? Why doesn't he take the lead? Why doesn't he say something? We can never get him to do that. And sometimes it's because he tried and offered an idea or leadership or whatever the case may be and was so quickly shot down and told that that was stupid and your idea was better and we were going to do it that way. And he just decided it wasn't worth it. And if this could be your problem, submission, reverence, and quietness will engage your husband and draw it out. This may not be easy, but it's always right. So if it's been a while since your husband has taken this lead in authority, and maybe there's some reasons for that in the past, then push a reset button this morning and acknowledge his God-given responsibility and authority and follow. And the next time a decision needs to be made, say, honey, what would you like our family to do? And after you pick him up off the ground, after he passes out, then wait for the decision. You say, Brother Roll, he's so passive. He won't make any decisions. Yes, he will. If you patiently wait, he will make a decision. Honey, what would you like us to do? And there's some time before a decision is given. That's all right. Honey, the kids are asking now, what would you like us to do? And just continue to defer that to him. He will make the decision. He'll have to. Submitting to him, deferring to him, appreciating and respecting his desire to serve and to lead the family. It does take faith and courage and strength, but it will work It's God's way. It'll work. And it's been proven over and over and over again. So grant your husband authority as the scripture describes it. And then things will fall into place in your life and relationship. If you try to undermine his authority or subtly rebel against it, your marriage will not be blessed and it will not be pleasant. Ladies, you may get your way, but in the long run, it'll be miserable. As one lady put it, I believe that ultimately a refusal to submit or to respect your husband is a refusal to trust in God. If we as women believe that God is working in our lives and in our husbands' lives, and we can place ourselves under his authority, then we can submit to and respect our husbands. Ladies, recognize that it is his God-given responsibility, and therefore he has authority. And may you recognize that and appreciate that in his life. And it will go a long way to bring the connection in your relationship that you desire and that God intended. And then at the end of the lesson, a few tips on how to make him feel that you appreciate his authority and leadership. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to cling to these things this week. May these thoughts strengthen our homes, and may it help make our homes something that's pleasing and honoring to thee. And we'll sure praise and thank you for your love for us and your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.